Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where we engage in lively and thoughtful conversations with professionals in the nonprofit world. And the professionals in the nonprofit world today are our fundraising leadership team. I'm here with Margaret and Janice and David, and we're going to have a conversation today.
Yeah. Thanks, Michelle. As all of our listeners know, normally we have a blog that we post, and then we interview the guest who wrote the blog. And today we are the folks who wrote the blog. And the invitation for the blog this week was really just share something about your year. It's been such a weird time. I think most of us remember the queuing up of 2021, you know, because it's 2020 with the worst of COVID and the lockdown. We thought, what's going to be different about 2021? And so would love to just go around and just ask you all to share a little bit, like what was 2021 like for you as we close out this year?
Yeah, 2021 for me was sort of a melding of 2 years together. Like, it's hard for me to really separate one year from the other. And that is surprising to me. I certainly didn't expect that last January. A lot of change, a lot of navigating different situations, some travel and some seeing people in person and some getting together, which was just so fulfilling and wonderful. But there's this weird thing about time for me, the hard time remembering what month it is or what's going on. that's my thing.
You know, I actually was sort of doing some late planning this morning, Michelle, and I kept having to check, like, is next year 22? Like, I literally was like, I think that's right, you know. And I was talking to my sister this week. I mean, part of what I shared in the blog was really my sister and I are very much more in elder care, you know, than we were, you know, in 2019. That really shifted for us in 2020. And I had taken my parents on what we knew at the time was going to be their final visit home to Belfast, Northern Ireland, which is where they're from. And she was like, was that 5 years ago? And I was like, no, it was like 3 or 4 years ago. And then I looked on Facebook and I was like, it was 2019. And my sister said the same thing. She was like, I have no idea like what time is right now. So yeah, that made me laugh.
Yeah. I look back sometimes on things and I'm like, was it winter? Was it summer? Like, I have no frame of reference for when things happened, you know, start for really for the last 18 months, right?
Since the beginning. Yeah, I think, 18 months is kind of, the frame that comes up for me frequently is March of 20 to March of 21. Like, that block of time was, as we like to say, Margaret, a liminal space.
Yeah, still, yeah.
You know, sort of no longer and not yet. It's that, and it was like for a year. And, you know, lots of folks, the other thing I say to people, which is absolutely true, is nonprofit budgets froze for that year, that time period in particular. And guess what happened to us? Our budgets froze. I was on a call with one of our former clients, and I was talking about this time, this year, and I was like, his name is John. And I said, John, it was a big goose egg for me, like zero. And I know that was a hard, and that, so that includes part of 2021. And then things started to thaw in literally and figuratively in the March of this year. The weather thawed and the budgets thawed and we got into action again. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. One of the things for me that characterized this liminal space, because it's a hard space for humans, you know, I mean, I think as humans, we just like, we want to know, we want to know when something's going to end or what it's going to feel like. You know, I remember I used to fly with one of my sons and we'd get on a plane and he'd go, will it be daytime or nighttime when we land? You know, like, I think all of us want to have those understandings. And for me, I think the past year has been characterized by my resistance to things being different, you know, to trying to grasp sometimes at like what it looked like before. And then finally, when the universe forces me to surrender, going, oh, it's not that bad, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up, Margaret, because I was talking with a coaching client yesterday, and he was reflecting back on his past year. And he said, you know, when we started working together, Michelle, I hired a coach because I was like, there's a lot of change happening right now. I need some support getting through this change. And he's like, and it never stopped changing. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. It just kept coming. And I think that was a perfect description of what so many of us have felt during this time. Like the change just kept coming. And I said, well, what do you know about yourself regarding change now? And he said, I can do it. Like, I just keep adapting. And we were all learning that, like, wow, I am adapting. Things that would normally throw me off, you know, my daughter was in college and then she took a leave of absence and then she moved back home for a few months and now she's back in a dorm in college again. Like that would have just really thrown me for a loop before. It was like, you know, my plan for my daughter is that she have this college experience. And now it's like, well, it's a college experience for these months. And then now she's home. And now maybe it's a little more college.
Yeah. It's been a time where so much of what we get to focus on has nothing to do with the doing, right?
Yeah.
There's so much space in the, like, how do you want to be with all the things you can't control?
Well, that's what as Michelle was saying that, I thought, like, we always knew and talked about and train our clients around the fact that control is an illusion, you know, but the whole world got a big old lesson in that, yeah. You know?
Yeah, that's good. That's one of the gifts from the pandemic is how, at least for people who are conscious, I'll say, and we only work with conscious leaders. So we are remembering that everything is impermanent. Everything is impermanent. So this is a great teacher. The pandemic has been mm-hmm. a great teacher for me. As I was late for this call, because I got waylaid by the building manager where I live, who was telling me how the workshop that Michelle and I are leading next month here in the social room in my apartment building, that they don't want us to be doing that. And so
I just made the plane reservation yesterday.
I know. And she just made the plane reservation from Colorado.
I had put it off for a long time.
So, which I mentioned to her, and I said,
another change. You know,
and we're doing some really extraordinary work with a local nonprofit here. That apropos some of the stuff that I've had to deal with in my life and some of the stuff that Janice is going through. It happens to be a local hospice organization. Was doing great week. In fact, and I said to the building manager, I said, you realize that many of the people in this building are going to be using the services of that hospice. You might want to take this into consideration because we are going to be helping the leaders of that organization. So I'm back in the liminal space of, well, I'll talk to the chairman of the board about it.
Yes.
Well, you so know, I'm sorry I was late. Yeah.
No. But it's so, as you were saying that, I was reflecting, like, that's the thing. It's like we're always, and like we all wrote about, like, you know, our personal things, I think, more than anything this year, which was really nice. And really, I was inspired because Margaret and David wrote their piece first, and your kind of vulnerability and opening up inspired me to do that. And then I believe inspired Michelle the same. But that's the thing. I think personally, we always all have these changes. But there was something powerful about the world. I mean, like, you know, I have never lived through in, you know, my lifetime, something where the entire world sort of had that reckoning, you know, and we not only had, you know, the reckoning with the pandemic, but we also had a racial, you know, equity reckoning together, really, like, much more collectively than I think we have had in the past. And so there is something powerful, you know, much in the way that, I mean, my father was born just as World War II was beginning, right? But I've heard stories about the impact, you know, him and his siblings were sent away, you know, to live out of the city because of the danger and their father being gone. And so many generations have had these collective experiences, and now it's really like this chance for us to have this collective experience where it was different for all of us, but yet we all were having a very big life-changing, it didn't matter which country you lived in, you know, it did have an impact. So that is, it is really something, you know, I think for all of us, and that I talked about was like, another gift was just that the slowdown in our business, David. I mean, I will say, I just want to pat ourselves on the back. I mean, we didn't panic, you know, we didn't. We really immediately were like, okay, we have time. What are some things we wanted to do that we, for the business, you know, that we like doing our website, like, you know, we really did sort of go into this mode of how can we be in service, but also how can we pause and do some things we've been putting off. And for me, I had to move my parents, you know, across the country last year. And because my sister could offer them her support now that she's retired. And that could have been overwhelming if I was busy with work, but I had lots of space and time for them. And they ended up living with me for a few weeks, which, you know, now that, you know, my father's declined quite a bit since in the last couple of years, I really think of that time that we had together. They really got to say goodbye to the province in which they lived as they moved to a new province. And that made them reflect and talk about when they first moved here in the early days of their marriage, all the apartments that they lived in. And I would have never heard those stories if I didn't have that time.
Janice, I love what you're saying, just with it feels like one of the other things that has characterized certainly this year and maybe this period of time is the invitation to be more intentional, right, about things, to like, because life slowed down for many of us, it was there was definitely an invitation to say, yeah, what can I do that would actually, you know, make sense right now? You know, it was sort of going more from an extrinsic crazy sometimes to a more like, what do I need? You know, how do I survive this? Who are the people I want to spend time with? And so I think there's been some healthy, right?
Yeah, I think what you're pointing to, Margaret, that is really hitting home with me is that it really revealed what's most important. Yeah. Like, and sometimes it revealed what's most important from a societal systemic standpoint with the racial reckoning, right? And sometimes it revealed what was important in this moment. In this moment, it is most important that I spend time with my husband and let the other stuff go.
Yeah,
like that's what's important. So it was sort of on this, you know, macro and micro level.
Yeah. I think for many of us, it's really reshaped, you know, who was on our bench, right? Like socially and in terms of friends and family, and you know, who did we find that we did spend time with or make the effort to get creative? And that's another thing I think that's really characterized this past year is creativity, right? Creativity in fundraising, creativity in, you know, how we celebrate holidays.
Yeah.
Creativity and how to stay in touch with people who, you know, who don't live nearby.
Yeah.
I do remember in March, kind of April of 2020, some of my clients were like, okay, good. Like anything I've ever wanted to try is now allowed. Because, you know, there was like sort of like just new stuff, you know.
Yes. Sourdough bread, knitting, right? Like how many novels got written this past year?
But also it's like, you know, you could have a conversation with a donor on video, right? I mean, you know, that was, you know, I mean, you think about, especially we worked a lot and still do a lot in the university space. And you think about, you know, flying, like I used to work at the University of Toronto and they were always flying off to Hong Kong and London and New York. And, you know, and now it's sort of like, well, that could be a Zoom call, right? And just the sort of, yeah, the permission to go more digital. Like I think for a lot of organizations, they were lagging in technology and suddenly it was like, well, that's not sustainable. Mm-hmm. You know, if you ever needed a really good direct mail plan, you know, and a keep in touch plan. So I think there was there was obviously fear and there was confusion, and there was some people felt paralyzed by it. And then I did sort of delight in those who were kind of like, okay, the slate is clean. You know, I can try anything now.
Well, I would point the audience to the blog where we each wrote like a snippet about our lives over this past year of 2021, and some, and each of us dipping a little bit into the end of 2020 in the blog post, because there, while COVID was in the background, each of our stories have events in our lives that were not necessarily caused by or related to COVID. And it just might remind, I'm mindful of the fact that everyone's life, you know, stuff happens. And whether there's a pandemic or not, and we have four lives here, and there's all kinds of juicy things that happened, you know.
Yeah, life is a journey, it's not a destination.
And I don't mean juicy in a necessary, who's to say what's good or bad, but you know, I would say juicy like a lemon, not juicy like a watermelon.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, like, you know, really the four of us in many ways mirror the stage of life that most of our clients are in. You know, we do tend to work with clients who are, you know, more senior in their roles, and teams, you know, leadership teams. And so, yeah, so we're definitely in this space, right, of elder care. And, you know, I don't have children, but you all have children, and getting children through university, as you said, Michelle, and accepting that that path is not linear, you know, for many, many people. For some people, it's not even a path they choose. And for you, Margaret, like navigating, as you wrote about, like having to let go of what your family looked like, and, you know, being able to build these beautiful new memories of family in a different way. And, you know, I think that, yeah, like we certainly, the leaders that we coach, you know, that is a big part of the conversations that we have too, is like, how do you navigate this stage of your life?
A lot of anxiety in the space. Certainly I've noticed that, lots of people that I've talked to, lots of younger people also, I think, really struggling pretty hard with that. You know, I meet people and they tell me my kids are, you know, just pretty anxious right now. Like, those kids aren't anxious right now. Come on. That's a kind of thing. But yeah, lots of change.
Well, yeah. You mentioned, Michelle kind of mentioned the systemic level, and then you're just making me think of that. Yeah. Like what is each of us reflecting, you know, in terms of what we're seeing in the different systems that we operate in, right? With our clients, with each other as a team, with our families, with, you know, our friends, with society at large. So what are we all seeing?
Well, one thing that I'm seeing with my clients, both in coaching and in the positive intelligence work that Margaret and I do together, and in some of the group trainings that I do with Michelle and Janice, is vulnerability seems to be in our system. And you can read some vulnerable stuff we wrote in the blog post about our own lives. And also I'm noticing with the clients. So, you know, I think from a certain, you know, like we're generating it and they're also generating it. So we're creating a space for it, I think. And maybe folks are, as a result of the pandemic, are more willing to go there. I don't know. But I'm definitely seeing it.
I'm seeing the same thing, David. It's like people are more willing to go there. There's something about deep connection that's appreciated even more. And when connection is not there, it's even more isolating. And so connection looks different in different scenarios, whether one is in person or on Zoom, but having those authentic conversations between managers and direct reports, or between colleagues. We've had it here as a team where we, throughout the year, we've just had some really deep connecting conversations that just really locked in our relationship as a team so that we could navigate the next level of change that happened unexpectedly. But that is so important now. It's so needed. And the work that you and I, David, have done recently with some teams, the tears start earlier. People are just so grateful to be connecting and have a deeper conversation about things.
Yeah. Michelle, I just really concur. I think we are stripped down in new mm-hmm. ways, right? Everyone knows I love the raw and real. There is a raw and a real, and we can think about, maybe that's because we wear our PJs to work now in many cases. I know not everybody does, but there's been
our dogs park in the middle of a recording or workshops like yesterday.
We're not showing the bottom half of my body. Anyway, there is a, and I think the other thing actually that's contributed to that, and I know this is sort of a dark topic, but it's come up a lot, is our relationship with death has been, mm-hmm. it's just been on the table more, I think, for more people. I know, there are families that have experienced deaths that were so not how they wanted, and so that felt so incredibly painful or distant. I think for everybody, there's been a contemplation of our own mortality, right? With a virus that seems fairly indiscriminate sometimes, and in who it's taken down. And I think there's a thing there for, yes, that makes people want to connect and belong and find their humanity in new ways.
And I think there's exhaustion. Hmm. There's a lot of exhaustion. And again, who knows what's good or bad, right? It just is. And I really still feel, I think a lot of people that I'm talking to are still really in that, especially as we go into winter, because the summer here was very different. And now it's just like the virus is changing, the variants, the numbers are going up. And so there's always a sense of what is going to come, with the holidays and winter. And my hope is that that there's more boundaries that come next year. That's my hope. I think we talk a lot about how fundraisers in particular, those in the nonprofit, but particularly the frontline fundraisers, often have a bit more likelihood of a pleaser saboteur, a need to do it all and please others. And for some people, I think working at home has been a gift, and for other people, it's been a burden because the blurring of work and home has been hard for leaders. And so that is my hope, that coming out of this, that we will have a sense of more clear boundaries and a need for people to have time to live their lives and be with their family.
In our podcast, we usually challenge our listeners to try something. And what I'm coming up with from our conversation, here's a challenge to our listeners: say yes to something that feels connecting and say no to something that feels exhausting. So that's your challenge.
That's a great challenge, Margaret.
Yeah. And I wonder if maybe we want to close by just going around and each of us sharing an intention or a word or a wish for the way that this year ends or the way that the next one begins. Mm-hmm. And I'll start. I have been faced over and over again this past year with getting out of my own fear and anxiety and trying to operate from a place of love and openness. And so that's to keep making that choice. That is my intention, to keep living from where my heart starts it all.
Yeah, what comes up for me is actually something I mentioned in the blog. So it's coming back to me now, is that I want to end this year and continue in 2022 by remembering to pause and ask myself, what's the most important thing here for me? Because I have found myself to be sort of frantically keeping going. And that pause has been, excuse me, that pause has been so valuable when I do remember to do it. Remember to pause. Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, like right from the beginning of COVID, my hope was that we don't try to go back and that we take everything that has happened and everything we've learned and create something better.
I'm going to share more of a reflection than an intention. I feel very blessed. And even though this 18-month period has been very challenging for me, I would say, and part of this, what I'm about to say is because of some help that I've sought out in the medical world, but I'm starting to feel joy and happiness for like the first time in my life. I know that's like really hard to maybe accept after all of that we've talked about and this trying, but for me, I mean, I feel so blessed to have made it this far in life and to be with all of you here today. And also to be with all of our friends out in the nonprofit world.
Yeah. From all of us to all of you, happy holidays, happy end of your year. And thanks for being part of our community.
This podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results. Please subscribe if you haven't already. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. If you are enjoying the show, you can help us continue to bring thoughtful content with a monthly or annual contribution. This supports our production costs and keeps the show ad-free. Make a contribution today using the link in the show notes. Now, go put it into practice.